Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Overseer Paulette, and I am grateful that you chose to share this Friday Fellowship of Learners. We love your presence and your participation. We appreciate your faithfulness to the ministry. Thank you for your prayers during these challenging times. We have been together, and God has blessed us as He promised He would, and we thank Him for it. We appreciate His faithfulness and His presence and His commitment to our life. We thank Him that He has chosen us, and He has chosen to share His mysteries with us. He loves us, and we love Him because He first loved us, chose us, lifted us, blessed us, and set us in heavenly places. And now we're under the tutelage of the Holy Spirit as He reveals the ways of the kingdom of God. When we are growing up, we try to teach our children the ways of the world so that they will be wise and they will be successful and they will flourish. Well, that is our job in the, of the Holy Spirit, to teach us the ways of heaven so that we can thrive and be successful and have this peace and to participate in all of the benefits and the inheritance that belong to us. So I just want to read to you from a word from the Lord at this holy time. It says, "I give you joy that is independent of circumstances. I give you myself." And so these are things we have to learn how to recognize God giving us Himself and recognize the independence of joy. Joy has a place and a position, and it is high above our circumstances. He says, "All of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge hidden in me, because I am infinitely wise and all-knowing, you will never run out of treasures to search for." Hallelujah. Just like a pirate on a mission to find treasures, he's sharing with us, you'll never run out of treasures to find. You will never get bored with the revelation that are going to be shared with you, that there are some mysteries that have a value that's far beyond anything the world can give. So when you unwrap that treasure, you will be unwrapping your own inheritance and enjoying it. He also says, "I'm a wellspring of joy." A wellspring of joy. That is a flowing emotion, refreshing, pure, and clear when you think of a wellspring of water that's ever flowing and ever refreshing. And he says, "I am a wellspring of joy, eager to overflow into your life. Open wide your heart, your mind, and your spirit to receive me in full measure. My joy is not of this world. It can coexist with the most difficult circumstances. The world's joy can't exist beside challenging circumstances. It crumbles. But he shares with us that my joy, because it is not of this world, it can coexist with the most difficult circumstances. No matter what is happening in your life, the light of my presence continue to shine upon you. Look up to me with a trusting heart. If you persist in searching for me, my joy light can break through the darkest storm clouds. Let this heavenly light soak into you, brightening your perspective and filling you with a transcendent delight. Remember that you have an inheritance in heaven. And this inheritance can never perish, never spoil nor fade. Since you believe in me, God is saying, inexpressible, glorious joy is yours now and forever. Hallelujah. That's a timely thing of praise break. Hallelujah. And this comes from all of the words that he shares with us comes from his word. It says, blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. They exalt in your righteousness. In other words, they brag about you. The words from their mouth about you. They are testified to you. This is praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. Hallelujah. And so that word from the Lord to us ushers us into our lesson for today, crushing Satan. And you may think, well, what does that have to do with crushing Satan? But there's some truths and some promises that we have to know in order to receive the victory, not to get the victory, but to receive the victory. And so we will start with our promise number 8. That was a book I had in front of the phone. Again, I say good morning. I see a lot of you at signed or after our introduction, and we are glad you are with us. And we were just sharing a word of encouragement from God so that we could start focusing our time. I don't want to say our new year, but our time today, while we wait to the new year, but focusing our time on a new kingdom principle. Now, it's not new, but a revealed kingdom principle that helps us faith the challenges with joy. Well, remember, Christ endured the cross because of the joy, and the joy was because God had a plan, and he had him as a part of that plan, and that plan was going to make the Father satisfied and happy and bring about his will on earth for mankind. And so because of that, the joy of even what he was, what the joy he had, even in his suffering, did not have dominion. The joy had dominion. The suffering did not take priority one. And so that suffering sometimes, oftentimes, is a part of the enemy chipping away at us because Satan had an agenda. However, God changed that agenda. And so we see in the promise 8, crushing Satan, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. Now listen to the three little things that are shared in here. First of all, it's a God of peace. He will crush Satan under your feet, not under his feet, but under our feet. So that's the God. There is the mission, or the mission, the task, and that is the strategy. And so the author starts by, sharing with us, ironically, God's first promise of redemption given after the fall of Adam and Eve was spoken to the very one who caused the whole fiasco. Even before his prophetic pronouncement to Adam and Eve, the Lord of glory declared to the serpent, and he says, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I, God of glory, will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And so God tells Satan first, so that Satan knows, and we know that Satan knows. So that was part of God's strategy. He told Satan, so Satan ain't confused. Satan knows. And then he told man, and he wanted man to trust him and to believe him at his word and to receive this promise. This passion was fulfilled gloriously through the birth of our Lord, the Savior, Jesus Christ, seed of a woman. His heel was bruised through the painful nails on the cross. But simultaneously, the serpent's head was bruised as well. The good news is Jesus recovered from his bruised heel 3 days later, but the prince of darkness will never recover from his bruised head. It was a fatal crush when redemption blood flowed out of the wounds of the Son of God. That very day, the one who previously possessed the power of death lost his authority in this realm. Colossians 2 and 15 explains that the Savior accomplished. Explain what the Savior accomplished. And having disarmed authority and power, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them by the cross. So we have there the task, crushing Satan, done. And so we need to see that. It says crushing of the enemy's head. It says continues, even though Jesus stripped the power. Right? So he doesn't have power. Almost 2,000 years ago, the battle continues. But remember, your enemy doesn't have power. So what kind of battle is that? That's one we need to view differently. The battle, but the enemy has lost the power. The crushing of the enemy's head was not a one-time affair. It was an ongoing process. Collectively, the feet of all who are a part of the body of Christ are still grinding the serpent's head into the dust until his overthrow is complete at the end of this age. However, we need to remind ourselves often, we are not fighting for the victory. We are fighting from the victory. We need to just say that again and again. We're not fighting for victory, but we are fighting from the victory. And that victory was the taking away of the authority of the enemy when Christ died on the cross and rose with all power. The scripture state that even before we face future battles, we already have overcome the evil one because the word of God lives in us. I love that. We're going to stop right there for a minute. The word of God lives in us. I want to turn to 1 John 2 and 14. We'll start around maybe 12 to get the whole gist of what he's saying. He says, but the word of God lives in us. And when the Bible shares that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and we love now our lives unto death. That word of our testimony has a connotation that sometimes we are not familiar with the base of it. We know what our testimony is, and everybody has a testimony, and they can tell how God did something in their life. But our lives are supposed to be a testimony to the word of God. That's all of the word of God, not something that happened at a particular time, but something that's happening all the time. And that's how the word of our testimony, our word of our testimony is heard and read by man. It's how we live, because the word of God lives in us. Does someone have that scripture? 1 John 2 and 14.
Yes, I have it, overseer.
Amen.
1 John 2 and 14 says, I write these things to you, dear children, because truly you have a relationship with the Father. I write these things, Father and mothers, because you have a true relationship with Him who is from the beginning. And I write these things, young people, because you are strong and the word of God is treasured in your hearts, and you have defeated the evil one.
Well, praise the Lord. Can you read it one more time, Apostle?
Yes, ma'am.
And stop at each one of the... Yeah.
Okay, in the same translation?
Oh, no, if you have another one, that'd be great.
Okay, one moment.
This is Rogers. I also have another translation.
Amen. Go right ahead.
You have yours, Apostle?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you continue.
So the word of the Lord says, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one.
Amen.
Okay, this NIV, I have written to you, children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you who are mature because of you knowing Christ, the one who is from the beginning. I have written to you who are young because you are strong with God's word, living in your hearts, and you have won your battle with Satan.
Amen. Now, that's a promise. And it's interesting because he broke it up into categories as to who he was speaking to. So do we see that? So let's
Amen.
Look at the individuals he was speaking to. What was the first one?
In the King James Version, the first one was the Father.
The Father. All right. And what does that mean?
And then in the Passion Translation, he starts off with dear children.
Okay. One second.
Hmm.
Okay, trying to get some juice in the computer here. Okay. And so he is speaking to the Father of the of people. That's our heritage, our generation, our teachers. Okay, and he's sharing with us that. This one. Because it went dark all together. Okay, one second. A pastor, talk about the people that he was talking to.
That would be you, Pastor Diane.
Oh, all right, thanks. First, let me go into this new commandment that he has given us. And he's telling us, those that has began or become to know Christ, that he is letting us know what we have in this maturity because we have known him. Then he said, I've written to you children, and that's everyone that knows God, the fathers, our forefathers, everyone that knows Christ or what he done, because you have known the Father, which is our Father, which is in heaven. If you know, I was thinking about what Jesus said on here. If you know Christ, you do know the Father. Mm. And you know, you stop me talking and go back to what you had prayed the other day when, with the Jehovah Witness. If they witnessing for Jehovah, then they're going to get to know the Son before they leave out of here, if they true. If they truly believe. And then it said that's why he's saying, because you have believed. And if you believe in one, you're going to believe in the other. And then he said, I have written to you who are mature. That goes with maturity, that you have faith and believe in God's word. That when we stand and we depend on the word of God, that's what makes us mature, because we're going through trials and tribulation. We're going to be tested, really, that we can step out on faith. And he said, the one who is from the beginning, well, we know that's Christ, or God the Father, the Alpha and Omega.
Yes,
And then we have to know and believe that he is the source. Everything else in it, everything comes from God. Let me see. He said, I have written to you who are young because you are strong with God. So, again, I look at that because we know God is our strength. And, again, how strong are we in his word? The stronger we in the word, the more we can depend on him. And like you say, he's going to give everything that he has promised us, he'll be able to do it. He said, word, God's word living in your heart, that's our faith and belief. And you have won your battle with Satan. Why? Because going with that blood again, it's saved from the beginning, before the foundation. Satan was defeated. I know in your introduction you was talking about the power, and I had read in Revelations with the power that when the Lamb was defeated, the seven spirits of God came from the blood and entered into all parts of the world. So that was the Holy Spirit, and Satan was defeated then. So I love it when I get up early and get more and more, because I had been up, but now I'm getting some more.
Amen.
One perspective so I would like to look at when he says, because the word of God it now lives in us, and that is an indication of the new covenant. It is an indication of the presence of Holy Spirit and his work in our life. and his purpose for our life. But it also kind of parallel in the Old Testament, it was the fathers who shared about God. It was the father who shared the traditions and the laws of Moses. And it was the young men that had to sit and that sat and listened and were inspired by what their fathers had said. Now we are to be inspired by what Jesus said and what the Holy Spirit is revealing to us. At some point he says, you have no need of teachers because now you have within you that great teacher. We are without excuse. And our lives should be such a powerful testimony because we have the God, the Spirit of God, revealing the truth, revealing wisdom and understanding and knowledge to us on a moment-by-moment basis. And so that's our testimony. That's the Word of God. Our testimony is the Word of God living out in us that people see the word of their testimony. And because of the power of the word of the testimony, remember at some point the author shares with us that there is a promise, and you know the Bible says there's always a way of escape. And that way of escape generally is in the power of the promises that are given to us. But if we don't know these promises, we become stuck somewhere that we don't have to be stuck. I was trying to find that statement that the author shared, the fact that there's a promise that will usher us through every circumstance and situation. And somebody find it, you can just tell me. We can read it. And so we want to see the dual side of this, or the fulfillment of the Old Testament and the fulfillment of the New Covenant, because that's what is crushing Satan's hand. Ahead. Every step we take in the power of the new covenant is what will crush the head of the enemy. Oh, there it is. Whatever Satan's wiles we face, and remember they talked about them in Proverbs, in Psalms, the wiles of the devil and the fiery darts, he said, but whatever satanic wiles we face, there is already a promise in God's word,
amen,
powerful enough to push us through the deception to sure victory. From heaven's perspective, our victory is sure. It was right underneath where we were. And so, you know, we need to remember that there is a promise of God in God's word, powerful enough to push us through, and it's not pushing us through a battle, it is pushing us through the deception, because the devil is defeated, and we have to, well, it's a battle from the victory of that defeat. Okay, so that means you address him from the position of already of victorious. And the reason is that because you're standing on not just a promise of God in God's word, but all his promises are powerful. And that's part of our inheritance, that he loads us up with daily. So we need to start listing these benefits. And, you know, yes, he provides us a place to live and health and, you know, a home and family and things. But there's some eternal benefits that are ours every day so that our testimony will be sure. Questions, comments, insight, revelation? Anybody?
One of the things that someone said was that the recommendation was that every day they wrote down on a little piece of paper one thing that God did, just that God did that was either out of the ordinary or that God, just that God did. And they put it in a jar so that at the end of the year, they could, on New Year's Eve, kind of just open the jar and begin to pull out. And so, every, you know, something that he did for them every day of the year. And so then when you said the scripture out of Psalms, blessed be the Lord our God who daily loads us up with benefits even unto the God of our salvation, and then the author said that we're not fighting for the victory, but we're fighting through the victory or from the victory. It's kind of like watching the progression, watching the favor and provision of God be revealed in our life, knowing, like you said, that there is a promise that is able to push us through. So it's kind of like he's shown us the end. These are the steps to the end while we're at the beginning. So we often say, I don't know what he wants us to do. But it's almost like he's giving us the steps to take. He's shown us the end. And the scripture you had us read, if you look at it progressively, kind of says that if you will embrace the word, then I think the next one was stand on the word. I want to get it right. If you will have faith in the word, passionately love the word, then you will automatically see in the midst how the enemy has been defeated. But if you don't have this, I call it three-strand cord, you can miss it in the beginning when the end has already been determined. So when you said, you know, begin to see everything by what God says he's already done, that, you know, Satan is under your feet, it's kind of like if we look down and see him defeated, it should automatically cause us to raise our hands up to worship God.
Yes, yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. And these are things that as we hunger and thirst after him, he delights in showing these mysteries that sometimes become apparent once we get it. You know, it's like, wow, well, of course if I was this, 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 and that, and it would lead to that, but we didn't see it. We hadn't connected the dots. We hadn't seen the full revelation of it. And so we are in a place where we need to stop, literally stop, and as the one said, write something down, but search for the treasures. Like you would search for the winning lottery ticket, or you would search if they told you, you know, somebody lost $1 million and they lost it in a certain place. I don't know how many people would go there to try to find it. But search for those treasures just as earnestly and fervently as we would the treasures of man, which we do search for. And we relinquish a lot of our spiritual blessing in pursuit of something that's temporal. It's not that it's necessarily a sin, but it is not eternal. And thereby, it uses more of our resources and our strength and our energy than it should. And it leaves us in a depleted situation because what we were looking for doesn't have the power to renew us, as the scripture said, and then overflow in us, which is what God's word wants to do. And so the author says there are three primary weapons that will bring forth the enemy's final and ultimate defeat. And we shared that. It's the blood of the Lamb. And I read the blood of the Lamb, and it says what causes us to be justified, legally acquitted of all guilt, just as if it never happened. But what else does the blood do? How much do we really know about the power of the blood of Jesus? Because we will call the blood of Jesus on something, the blood of Jesus. But do we understand what that blood does? And I know resurrection time, we talk about the seven places Christ, you know, shed his blood. And we go into that structure of teaching. And I believe that it's time for us now, as we go into it, to rest there a while and get a revelation of what that blood of the Lamb truly does, the blood of the Lamb, so that we understand when we call on the blood of the Lamb exactly what we're calling on. The song says, heaven's perfect Lamb. You know, what is so important about the perfect Lamb? You know, what is it, what truth is it revealed to us? Because I think one of the things that, and we have a problem with it, because we're earthbound, but there is a holiness about God that springs forth in his power. But there is a holiness, and it's hard to see something as perfect and holy. I guess it's like, you know, if we saw the whole world under a petri dish and we saw all the germs that are sprawling around, and, you know, that's how he sees or refuses to involve or let remain sin. He later in this chapter, he indicates sin is like the venom of the serpent and of the of the serpent. And so that blood of the Lamb, excuse me, I challenge you to take that before the Lord and see what he will say about that, the blood of the Lamb. It is holy. And wherever it goes, that's why we're cleansed of our sin. It has that powerful holiness. And it's just something that we need to allow him to give us revelation for. So there's a three-core strand of apostles there. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Just a quick question. Would that be just like the blood saves us from the wrath of God and opens up the way of heaven or pays for our forgiveness? Is that what you're saying as far as every
study?
I'm saying,
yes, that's true. But there's so much more. Why does it do that? Why do you say the blood of the Lamb when you see something and you go, oh, the blood of Jesus? Why? Why do you say that? What do you expect from that? What do you know about that blood and that situation that you're calling his name and his blood over? You didn't call his name over it. You called his blood over it. Why? You see what I'm saying? You know, let us understand the yes.
Overseer.
I
like it when you said, what do we expect from it? See, when we take communion, he told us to drink the blood. And if we don't know what the blood represents, we won't know
what
to expect from drinking the blood.
Absolutely.
Because
that's the power
within us.
Exactly. And the scripture tells you, do this in remembrance of who he is.
Right.
Okay? Yes, he's our Savior, but in remembrance of who he is. And I think the thing we fail sometimes to remember is he really is the Son of God sitting in heaven making intercessions for us. Now, we know he is. We know that. But there's one thing to know, and then there's another thing to know. And so that blood, it represents, I'll say an inheritance that we just cannot conceive the full value of. We cannot conceive the full value. We love it. We know we need it. We praise God for it. So I'm saying, at this point, let us, every time you say it, let it go where Holy Spirit is and ask Holy Spirit, you know, reveal to me this power. revealed to me the understanding of the blood of the Lamb. Yes. Anybody else?
Protection.
So, it says the denial of self, living a life devoted to selflessly serving God and serving others, even to the point of death. Because unless we can understand the true meaning of the blood of the Lamb, unless we live this life through his testimony, so we find it very hard to deny ourselves. Maybe in certain times, in certain places, with certain people, but we find it very hard to deny ourselves. But I believe that as he reveals more and more the revelation of the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, living holy based on the infallible, unconquerable word of God. How can really convinced are we of every word in the Bible? You know, have we picked, and we'll say pick and choose. But there's some, first of all, we're more familiar with. Some we go, okay, and we just kind of brush over it. But every word is the unconquerable, infallible word of God. And it says these three elements are fused together. They render a person unconquerable. And he's talking about us now, not Jesus. He's talking about us. These three things fused together render a person unconquerable. And as citizens of the kingdom of God, we are unconquerable. May not know how to live unconquerable, but as he perfects us, he brings that truth to us. So I love the questions, comments, revelation, insight. Just think of yourself every day as I am a person unconquerable because of the blood of the Lamb, word of my testimony, and I am crucified with Christ. Therefore, I am. Yes.
Could that be protection?
Yeah, it's protection. Yes, yes, yes. You know, and there's a lot of things that's for protection, but doesn't necessarily stand up to its task 100% of the time. However, the blood of the Lamb, because of its holiness, because it was tried and it conquered. So in other words, you know, there are protection that works, and, you know, a gun can misfire or a wall can be torn down or, you know, whatever we use as to protect ourselves, our situation or our thing, it doesn't have 100% guarantee except for the blood of Jesus. No matter what Satan or the world or even his loved ones and the church did to Jesus Christ, he never sinned. And that is what makes us unconquerable because we believe in him. Okay. I thought the author's encounter with the devil was very interesting. I generally am, you know, people know me, and I don't go there, I don't do that. However, when I read his simple reply, I conquer you, Satan, through the precious blood of Jesus. It is impossible for you to win. That is just so perfect and so true and so eternal. And the devil knows it because God already told. And so now you're just repeating God's word to him. And that way, the author shares how at one point, you know, his eyes look somewhere, and another point he looked something else. And then after the third time, he just kind of melted away because he is a conquered foe. He is a conquered foe. But I just thought that that was such a powerful statement. I conquer you, Satan, through the precious blood of Jesus. It is impossible for you to win because, you know, the Satan had already tangled with Jesus, and Jesus won. And the power of that blood that was in him, flowing through him as he walked here, is now what covers us. Remember the seven places that he shed his blood. So seven areas, seven mountains probably too, they have something to do with. It's all things that stimulate our spiritual hunger, and to see how it's connected, because that will perfect the strategy that we walk in, and then we won't walk in such frustration. Anybody else comment on that encounter with the devil?
Well, you just said that when we have the power of the blood, and we have to, sometimes we forget who we are, but when I think about the communion in the blood, where Jesus had talked to our Father and said, Father, I would that they become one as we are one. That's the blood that connects us to make us oneness or wholeness with God. And then we become that one body. We receive the strength, the power, and the word, because then we have his word or his promise, because everything that Jesus prayed and asked for God, God gave it to him. So when we look at that part, when we can say we have obeyed and done what he said do, we already have everything. And that's the power over Satan. But a lot of time, be it in our natural bodies, we have a tendency to go with what the world has taught us, and we forget about what we have learned in the word of God. And I thank God, because even when we come back, you know, you could be trying to help God out. I'm going to speak for myself. But when you realize that what you're doing, you can repent. And by that blood being on the inside of you, you can repent and start all over again.
Yes, yes.
So the power is in the blood. And I say that with I repent, because I'm always in the book of Genesis, and where the blood was crying out. You know, the blood cried out when Cain slew Abel. So that cry to me is when I realize that I need to repent. This blood in me, I can call out to my Father and repent. And he cleanses me with recognition of realizing what's on the inside of me. And that's his blood, because it took away all sin.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. If he said he took away all sin, whatever I see that's not right, I call on his blood. And then that goes with our faith and our belief. If you believe he took away all sin, see, there should be no more sin. Because why? Because his word say the blood washed away all, and all we ask everybody, how much is all? So that's
absolutely, that all is what should be our testimony, which is how the world will know. If they don't, they see us, they don't see all. You know, they don't see all the sin, though. They don't see it. And so our testimony is not as true as it should be, and it's not as powerful as it should be. And yet, the Bible says that we are sons and daughters of the new covenant. And we need to know what that new covenant is. You know, we need to understand the full meaning of the covenant, the new covenant, because the blood, the new covenant, is based on the blood of Jesus Christ. And so
yes.
these are just more and more connections that need to be made in our spirit realm so that we understand really these three core strands and we understand the power and the unconquerableness of ourselves. And so we need to understand the new covenant. And when I first read it, I went, oh, let's see, what is the new covenant now? And so I decided, I'm just going to look it up. I want to see, you know, what the, you know, what is said about the new covenant. And it was interesting because it said the first covenant was to mankind. It was to everybody. And that was the nomadic covenant, the covenant with Noah. The second covenant was just with the nation. That's the Abrahamic covenant. And then the new covenant was with all men individually. So the covenant that came for Abraham, it was like family-oriented. You know, the father do this and the son and everybody else, you know, father sin, everybody that. You know, if this is on the father, then it's on you to say the father eat sour grapes and the kids' teeth are on the edge. So what one did, it transferred to you. But the New Testament is when, first of all, he promised he would write in our hearts. That's Holy Spirit, his word and his truth. And it's individual. So whether Jew or Greek, it didn't matter, Gentile. At one point, it was only for the Israelites, only for the Jewish nation. And but this new covenant is for each of us individually. And I know that individuals that may commit a crime together, and then when they go to court, they say they want to be tried separately, you know, or there's some that, you know, figure we need to try me as a unit. But tried as a unit, everybody's issues become yours. Try you individually, and maybe, you know, you have a faith that will eliminate the result of and the outcome of the trial. And so God is giving us that in the new covenant. Individually, I hold you accountable to accepting or not accepting my son. Individually, you can't say I because mama didn't tell me and daddy didn't know. Individually, the earth will give testimony to who God is, and it is up to each one of us individually to say yay or nay. And so in this new covenant, it says the sons and daughters of the new covenant. These are individuals who know who they are, know whose they are, and understand their inheritance, that they understand the position. They're not of this earth, and we say, you know, I'm not of this world. We say it, but that's not what we live. It really is. We still feel very much influenced, deceived, and sucked into the world. Every time you get mad and want to do something and not pray. Every time, you know, somebody makes you mad and you got to let them know. Every time, you know, it stirs up in us those things that are carnal and flesh, okay? So those are the things that we are really presenting before the Lord. You know, exact me. You know, cleanse me, show me, and so that I can give it to you. I don't want this anymore, because I understand now where I'm sitting, who I am, what you've done, who you are, and the power thereof. I thought one of the most profound statements here says, it says he heard, okay, oh, he questioned God at one time in prayer about the statement in Luke, nothing shall by any means hurt you. He complained, and he complained to God, sometimes, Lord, because I've been hurt and damaged by demonic attacks on my life with my walk with you. And God's response was powerful. I heard him speak unmistakably to my spirit, the author sharing. They may have had power to hurt you temporarily, but they had no power to harm you permanently. After the dust of war has settled at the end of this age, we will certainly be able to shout with bold finality, we win.
Jesus.
We win. Hallelujah.
Is that?
Yes, ma'am.
Is that an understanding of how deep is the love?
Yeah.
Understand how much that is love.
Yeah.
I don't understand that love. That's a whole lot of love that we have.
Yeah.
We got. I never knew love. That's a deep love.
Yes, it is.
And I guess to understand it is heavy, huh?
That's
do we
that's
really
it.
Understand what love is?
Yeah.
I don't understand it, but
but I know
I pray
it's
for it. I pray for it. I'll be like, Lord, that's
what?
One thing you told me to do to love you.
Come on here. That's deep. Come on.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yes, Lord.
Unbelievable. What is
that?
I mean, here we are.
The remarkable. Yeah.
I can't love me.
Yes, Lord.
I love me. Do I really?
Yeah.
I mean, hey. Thank you.
See, we don't need to understand it.
No, that's
just believe it.
Believe it. What?
Yes,
and yet,
Lord.
No, and yet, no, Pastor, we do need to understand it because we need to do it. And
you
if you don't,
oh, yes.
You can believe it, but you don't do it. But if you understand it, you cannot not do it. Once you understand
right.
what it is. It changes
I was thinking the full effect because
you won't understand this. I don't believe this. What? You mean you forgave me for this? You can really do that?
Yes.
I mean, really? Yes. Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And so we
I think she's getting a part of the understanding now overseas, but the joy because. Because that joy comes in when you really know how much he loves us. And then he reveals to us.
And
he reveals that's that revelation of what he's going to give us, what he wants us to know. But he told us to do it. He said, if you love me, obey my commandments. That's the part we better get to understand it to, because we got to be doers of the word and not hearers only. But it's awesome because...
Yeah.
I felt that through the phone. You know, when that joy of the Lord is our strength.
Where you come from? What?
Yep. And in that what she's saying and what he is revealing to us is that love that goes so that deep love, that's I believe what is going to fill our eternity. Is getting to say. And to know and to be expressed upon that deep love God has for us. And so there is a place where we have to sit, and that's at the feet of Jesus. Because if we look at him and all that he went through, it's because he loved the Father. And we don't understand that. We'll suffer for a minute for you, and you got to act like you know I'm
suffering right.
for you, and you need to make me. Know that you appreciate my suffering and that it's going to make a difference in your life. That's what we do. That's not what he did. See, I don't care what they do to me. It doesn't matter. You know, and we can say that, but when the rubber hits the road, you know, we don't feel that. And when we know we are resting under a God of glory that has all power, but he also has his perfect will that is beyond what we can think, hope, or ever come up with. Because his thoughts are so much higher than ours. And so these are things that as we get closer to him, as we hunger and thirst for him, He's going to reveal to us. He's going to reveal in his chamber, in his private chamber, that we have been invited in because of the holy blood of Jesus Christ, that he will reveal these truths to us. And so it says that the author finishes by saying there's two important prerequisites. And these are prerequisites to our chapter scripture, and God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. First of all, it's the God of peace, not the God of war. I love that. The creator is not fearful, anxious, nor stressed about the Bible, about the battle itself, outcome. He is calm, assured, and fully convinced of his superior authority and the supremacy of his plan. If he can be at peace in the midst of a furious satanic assault, we can be at peace as well. And then it says God uses people. Notice God is not the one who is crushing Satan, but he does it under our feet. So we have to say it declares that this will happen under your feet. God's delight is for you to participate in the process of reclaiming this world for the kingdom of heaven. And he says the two important prerequisites, carefully read the verse that comes before that. That's why I wanted to start at 13. I forgot to say it. Is that I want you to be wise to that which is good and innocent to that which is evil. Immediately after these words, he then shares his promise. And what we see in this is the fact that this promise has dual conditions to come. So they reveal dual conditions of the promise coming to pass. So the powerful proclamation that God of peace has empowered me for war. This conflict is not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, and spiritual wickedness in high places. I make a commitment to be wise concerning good, to be innocent concerning evil, and to live a selfless life. I trust in the blood of Jesus and the word of God. Therefore, by these things, I have supreme authority over all satanic forces that plot against me. As far as heaven is concerned, I have already overcome. For greater is he who is within me than he that is in the world. This is God's promise to me. I claim this supernatural impartation and expect the manifestation in my life. So do you see how he has to make a commitment to be wise concerning good and innocent concerning evil, and to live a selfless life, trusting in the blood of Jesus and the word of God? And so we'll stop there. We need to just meditate on the blood of Jesus to get deeper revelation as relates to this battle of deception and an attack, and to understand in what areas is our life not selfless, whether it's towards God or towards God's people, because they are equally important to him. So, questions, comments, insights, revelations, before we end the last word from the word for the year 2019, when we meet again, it'll be 2020. So, questions, comments, insights, revelations.
I think it is interesting. overseer. When you look at that scripture in Luke 10 and 19, that the progression of that word calls your attention. But the first thing it calls your attention to is your position and your power, because it says, I give you authority. And I guess as you were sharing from a revelatory perspective, I kept being drawn to every point for the next three pages, I believe it was to the fact that the scripture says, I'm giving you authority. And that we, you know, I enjoyed Hollywood and the love insert. And it's like I can't get that without understanding my position in him, and that he has bestowed upon me this authority to be everything that these next three pages make reference to. So, you know, that whole trample over serpents and scorpions just seemed different because I made it too literal. But when I look at the symbolic meaning of it, it's like, oh, okay. The fact that you win, well, you could win, but if you win thinking you're powerless, that's different than winning knowing you have authority. And then, you know, when he talks about the peace and peace people and somebody else, prerequisites, that was the three P's were. I thought it was interesting. For me, we go back to that whole understanding the name of God. While he is a God of war, that God of war, that name is powerful in a different sense. But every name of God doesn't win every victory. So we get peace. I mean, we win the war because peace steps up front. And so just understanding what name to call and insert and stand on for the particular battle at hand, I guess I saw as being very, very important. I don't know, because I wouldn't call on peace for war.
Right.
You know, so just as I looked at that, it was like, oh, okay. But part of that is because you don't understand, for me, it was comes in understanding my authority, because if I understand the authority that he's given me, not his authority, but the portion of his authority that he has bestowed upon me, I'll travel through this process a little different. And then his proclamation, I can embrace, because I understand this process and what name to insert in my process.
Amen. Amen. And as you were speaking, you know, knowing your position and the position that God has given you authority, we have to then understand why we received this authority. And it was because what the devil does is not so much that he fights the battle and wins. No, he deceives us into thinking he can. And
that's
so
it
is, so we tell him, not tell him, but we live in a way that the world will know he can't. We don't have to say nothing to him. All we have to do is live, you know, really with that deep love, because that deep love, he says, if you love me, you obey me. So the key is to love him. We keep trying to obey him when we don't really know how to love him. We kind of love the way we love, that's all we know. But that the power comes in the love, as you were sharing. And so we need to get to that place where in his chambers, he, I don't want to say, soaks us in that unconditional love, in that there's a scripture that he has given me, and that is that, let me be satisfied in the morning with your unfailing love, a love that never fails. Not a God that never fails, but a love that never fails. And it's, Lord, give me that love. that will never fail to do what you need done in the earth realm, ever, because I won't be in the way of it. He says, then will I sing for joy. That's where joy comes from. He said, and be glad all the days of our life. And that's the key, that unfailing love. And that's a love without a bottom. So that's deep, without a bottom. And not only that, without a bottom, and yet in the hands of the I Am, you know, now that takes it to a whole nother level, exponentially. So it's just that, glorious. Getting
it's like that level
inside.
Of over
it's like
fear.
Love. It's like love. It's no bottom.
But not just no bottom, but no bottom in, you know, the unending God. I mean, you know, it didn't have a beginning, doesn't have an end, and that love is beyond, I mean, it is, like you say, it's beyond our full understanding here on this earth. Because he says, when you just understand a little bit of it, you understand a little bit of my love, you little baby, it'll come natural. It won't even be a struggle, you know, because my love won't fail to satisfy you. And if you're satisfied, then you're going to do that which the one that satisfies you asked you to do. Because you're totally, totally satisfied, totally accepting and totally fulfilled by what God does in your life. And when we're totally fulfilled by what God does in our life, we don't have to seek anything else. And when the devil would try to deceive us, he's already promised, I give you Holy Spirit. He's there. He'll let you know, hear ye him, hear ye my son. So just the joy of sitting before his son and at his feet and learning about the Father and the kingdom of our great God. Anybody else?
I wanted to share with that love when he's saying all that getting, get it understanding. And then he'll give you the understanding. Then he'll give you another, I call him test deal, where he wants you to learn a different level of obedience or trusting in him. And when we obey what he says or what he give us to do, and we trust him and we walk him by faith, he show you something new. And that's when I say you never get the greatest understanding until we meet him. But I'm enjoying the process now. Whereas before I knew I loved him. I've always asked to love him, but I didn't get the full understanding. And when he began to reveal to you what it is that you need to know, because we're still walking by faith, you're going to enjoy it. You wake up, can't nobody deter you, because you know that you're walking with God and he's there. And no matter what you come against, you say, okay, God, what's next? Show me what to do. And then we hear his voice and we do it. And no matter what we're going through, if it's, I always say, walking through the fire, if you know him with you, you'll be able to walk through the fire. And believe me, I got some testimonies, but I'm not going to go today. But I've been through some fire, but I know it was God that brought me through. So, you know, we could just come together and show that love in spite of what the enemy tries to do. And we'll learn the scriptures. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Okay. But we got to go through to know just who God is.
Right. And I think one of the things we have to start to hear with our ears, because one of the things you just said was to love in spite of what's going on. And yet, if you just turn that a little bit, love because of what's going on. And that'll change our total perspective.
There you go.
So what's going on, God is downloading in us his love. So it's not in spite of, but it's because of. And so now our focus turns to him. And now once you turn to him, he starts showing you so many things. You don't even know why you needed, what stage you were in when you got started on it. Because he starts revealing so many things that are just so marvelous. These, again, are our treasures, okay? So just little things that we do, we ask him to anoint our ears so we can hear what we're saying and how that ever so slightly turns. It's like with a combination lock. You can be one little inch, not even an inch, a little inch away from the notch you need, that lock ain't going to open. And that's how some of our words are just one little inch away from the true a testimony that should come out of our mouth. Because remember, the thing of life and death is on our tongue. You know, our tongue is the pen of a ready writer. And so we're not, we maybe forgot the and or the to or the it. And that can change the whole meaning of the sentence. And so we want our ears to be sensitive to hear what we're saying or not saying, or how we're saying it that's not in line with the new revelation that he is giving us, and how to just stop my conversation until you word my mouth. You know, be a watchman over my lips and a guard over my mouth. And not just so I don't say bad things, but so that I don't say unproductive things. Because everything we say ought to be fruit.
Yeah.
We just thank God for the fellowship that gives us the insight into a oneness. And I believe that one of the things that we're going to have to start to focus on, too, is the one another. Because that's very much a part of our journey. This journey ain't just for you or me and Jesus, you know, but it's for us and them and us is we, this, I ever, which is why I love when he named this the Friday Fellowship of Learners, you know, people that's getting together because they love me and want to know more about me together. Not individual, I do my own body stuff, but together, you know, I think that that's one of the things I just want to share this, that happened Sunday when we were worshiping, and I could see Christ on the throne next to the Father, just not, you know, what I want to say, defying, you know, but just blurry light, but just because of the light and the glory of him, but I could see him scooch up to the edge of his seat and look down and say, I see you. But he wasn't talking about me. He was saying, I see you as a church. I see you as a group coming to worship me. He says they started a Tuesday prayer, which was so powerful. But he looked down and he said, I see you. And it's like, not you as an individual. I see you as a group. And that's what that fellowship is about. That's that one another. You know, one another, we're going to live together. Mm-hmm. And that gets his attention. Because he's saying, now, Father, look, they're learning to become one like you and I are one. You know, and when the people become one, it's great as. Hallelujah. So I do. I thank God for that. That was so wonderful. But anyway. So, just look for your treasures. Okay. Let's see how rich you will come. You will become between now and Sunday. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Paul. And talk to you next year.
That's right. Overseer, thank you for your time and diligence and service in doing this.
Amen.
The big piece of the load every Friday. And I know that's not a small feat, you know, good days and bad days. So just thank you for this, you know, being consistent and diligent over the last 5 years.
Because
I think we started in 15. You know, with this. And then I just wanted to say, you know, no one said perfect love cast out all fear. That a lot of times we just think we can't do it. But, you know, when you were talking about love, you know, what the word says, that perfect love will cast out all fear as well.
Jesus. Amen. Amen.
And so much Elder. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate those that have been faithful that whole time. And those that have come on, those that have shared with their friends and families. And from time to time, we've had so much fun coming before the Lord on Fridays. And it definitely has been a place of love and fellowship, as well as grace and growth. And so I thank God for that and for you all.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Happy New Year,
okay.
If the Lord say the same.
Amen. So, absolutely.
Amen.
So we come back. Our ninth promise. And let's see, what is it? And Elder Roberta, your ninth promise. Oh, wow. Exceedingly and abundantly above. Hallelujah. That's one good way to start the new year, okay? Elder Roberta, what prayer are we on? In powerful prayers. Uh-oh. Oh, see me, I had to get off. Okay. I think it was Jonah. Oh, my God. Oh, boy. I think we're on the prayer of Jehoshaphat. Okay. All right. Well, be blessed. And joy in Jesus.
Bye-bye. Amen. Bye-bye.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.